everybody. How are you doing? Okay. We got a little bit of a shower, a little bit of thunder, lightning. I think that's probably about it. So we'll see. Maybe later tonight. I heard that. But it's been a good day so far. Appreciate it very much. Good to see you all come out. Let's start today with page 26 and let's stand. Page 26.
Every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, of thy redeeming blood. Here I raise my sign of victory, hither by thy help I come. And I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me with a strength, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to come here to your house again, Lord, to worship you. Thank you for this song, Lord. I pray that you'll seal us, Lord, that you'll keep us. Help us, Lord, as we're here in church, Lord, because it's a place for a hospital for sinners to gather, Lord. And here we are today, Lord, looking for just a little more help from you. Guide and direct today, Lord, I pray, as John brings forth your message, Lord, that it might speak to someone's heart here today, Lord, that they might get right with you before they leave this building today. We thank you for our nation, Lord. We know it's many, many problems. I just pray, Lord, for our leaders that they might somehow get it right, Lord. But be with us, Lord. Help us as we're out in the world, Lord, each and every day of the week, Lord, that you just guide and direct us, that you put people in front of us, Lord, to tell just a little bit more about you, Lord, in hopes and pray that we might see him here in your house. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Just guide and direct, Lord. Be with us all. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. 324, please. 324.
Steps to right.
glory on the way. It is glory just to walk with Him. It is glory just to walk with Him. He will guide my steps aright through the veil and o'er the high. It is glory just to walk with Him.
Sing the last.
'Twill be glory when I walk with Him. Heaven's golden shore, never from His sight again to stray. 'Twill be glory. Savior evermore, everlasting glory. It is glory just to walk with Him. It is glory just to walk with Him. He will guide my steps aright through the veil and o'er the height. It is glory just to walk with Him.
Let's see, I missed one song here. 756, just the chorus. 756. Did you? Okay. You got it. Okay.
Cheer up, you saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not trust Him and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning.
I cut in on that just a little bit. You come to Sunday school in the morning, we do that. We get kind of nuts in here, and that's okay. Let's see. How about we go to announcements, and we got our evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. Got Iron Sharpens Iron is going to be on April 1st at 6:30. The Women's Bible Study is April the 8th from 6 to 7. Did I get it, Callie? Got it. Okay. And that's at Cottage Grove. And let's see, personal evangelism is April 8th and the 23rd. My neighbor, and many of you know him, Wayne Crump, passed away yesterday. So just remember that in your thoughts and prayers. And then, let's see, Men's Out is going to be on the 12th, meet the church at 9:30, going to the Truck Museum in Walcott. We got 25th and 26th of April is the IRBC Counselor Training in Ventura, Iowa. Pastor Slott, don't represent Christ in riddles. Let the message be seen in reality in you. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for the beautiful day. Already the sun's starting to peek through, Lord. Just another one of your masterpieces, Lord. We just thank you so much for it. Mainly, Lord, today it's the opportunity to be here to worship, Lord. Sing praises to you, Lord. To listen to your message today is going to be presented by our pastor, Lord. Just guide and direct, Lord, all that you do. Considering you today, I just pray, Lord, as we take up this offering, that you'd be the gift and the giver. Thank you so much for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
thanks.
Katie's going to play.
God.
Kept running, and the objects were all out of size. I had made a mess of my painting. My way now seemed so unwise. So I brought my painting to Jesus. All the colors, all the pieces so wrong. In the markets of earth, it was worthless. But his blood made my painting belong. He worked with no condemnation. Never mentioned the mess I had made. Then he dipped his brush in the rainbow, and he signed it, "The price has been paid." When I gave the brush back to Jesus, when I gave the brush back to him, he started all over life's canvas to fill. When I gave to Jesus the brush of my will.
Thank you so much for that, Katie. And it fits perfectly with our message today, as God so often does these things. You know what? It's about time we hand the brush to Jesus, isn't it? That's right. He'll paint a beautiful picture if we're willing and let him do it. Anyway, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day it is, and what a wonderful group of young folks we have here at Fruitland. That gets me fired up. I'm hearing some Hebrew singing downstairs here before church, and I really like that. That's an encouragement. Psalm 105, 6, is that right? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Yeah, it gets me excited, and I'm excited to be up here today and to be with you folks, because this is one of the best things we can do, folks, is to turn our lives over to the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Whether you're here today as a saved person or not, let the Holy Spirit work today. Listen, and especially if you're here unsaved, if the Holy Spirit calls you to become a child of God, to have your sins forgiven, don't resist that, but run to Him today. And also, if you're here this morning as a backslidden Christian, which to an extent, aren't we all? Let that go today and let it with God. It'll make a difference every day of the rest of our lives. And Kay's song really says it all. Let's turn the brush to Him and let Him paint the picture. We just need to be willing to let Him work in our lives. So I greet you again in His name today. What a great day it is to be alive and to be again in the midst of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is here with us today. We're always glad, too, if there's anyone that's visiting for the first time. We're even happy and glad that people visit for the umpteenth time. We're glad you're here. There's no mistake in anyone that is here. And God will work in those that are not, too. But anyway, today is the second part, and I say that judiciously today because I could stretch this message into weeks, the principles that we find in it. It's about Samson, and we're going to begin this morning in Judges 14 briefly and then get into the meat of this. But the title from last week is Relinquishing God's Authority and Endorsement in Our Lives. It's a dangerous choice. We'll explore that today in our message. But again, I greet you in Jesus' name. Let's take a few moments to pray silently and adjust our hearts now. Even though this is a time of edification and challenge from God's Word, it's also a time that is very legitimate to let God know before we start how much you love Him, how much you value Him. Maybe it's even a time to briefly confess our sins of putting Him in a place that is behind where He deserves, that being first place in our lives. And I know He'll speak and open to our hearts today if we'll yield to Him for just a few moments here before we continue on. So let's do that this morning. I'll have a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll be challenged here from the Word of God. Let's pray together. Our gracious, loving, and kind, merciful Heavenly Father, we give thanks to You today for who You are and what You have done and the part that You have brought about with mankind in that relationship You desired when we were created back in the early days, Lord, of the creation. And Lord, for the place that You have for us in a spot that You would desire to have fellowship with us, we thank You today that that fellowship is made possible through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in his redemptive work on Calvary's cross, and that we now have direct access to You, praise Your name, through Christ there as He rent the veil in the tabernacle, Lord, where now we can come right to You as He being our high priest and we being declared priests who have been bought by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You today as well for Your personality of the Holy Ghost, and for the power that He brings about, the convicting power and the comforting power. And we pray today, Lord, that He would be active in our midst. Lord, again, thank You for another day of Your grace and mercy. And Lord, we know that the human experience today struggles with many things. But my prayer, first of all, today is, Lord, that You'll change us and grow us spiritually. And my prayer is there, if there would be one in our number here today who has never walked in a personal way with You, Lord, and come to be a child of God, that that might be the day that You would facilitate that. And for the rest of us, Lord, that You'd draw us closer, get us on the right path before it's too late, and challenge us from Your Word today. So I thank You for all these things. Yes, Lord, there are many people that are struggling, as Lonnie mentioned. Mr. Crump has gone into Your presence. Lord, there are people being born and dying every day. But Lord, we thank You that You have given us an eternal home if we'll but choose it. And Lord, we thank You and accept it. And Lord, I thank You that that is made available to us. It is not Your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that we would turn and come to You, Lord, and acknowledge You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So I pray to that end today. But many people are infirm today, maybe are not well. Others could be traveling. There could be all kinds of things that are going on. Some may be angry with You today, Lord, and maybe shaking their fist at You and saying, I want nothing to do with that God or with His church. But I pray, Lord, that You'd soften the hearts, that You'd help us to love people, and that we would be a breath of fresh air in a dark and very much tainted world that we live in today. Now, Lord, may You bless us as we look into Your Word. I know, Lord, that I'm always the weak link in the chain, so I pray that You'll help me again one more time, Lord. I say that every time. But, Lord, that You'll help me with the privilege that I have, but also, Lord, with the responsibility that I have here today to bring forth Your Word to us in a way that is pleasing in Your sight. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me. Help us all today, Lord, to draw closer to You and to be challenged, to be restrained if it may need to be, or to rejoice, Lord, in what You have done and what You will do. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, folks, I would just like to cause us to consider a few things as we look at this man, Samson. And this is the gist of what I'd like to get at today. And I'd like some response from you. But can God use unsaved people? And the answer to that is yes. Does God want all people to be saved, to be rescued, to be delivered? The answer to that is yes. Now, my next question, can believers ever be sidetracked and slip in a way, again, that causes our usefulness to God to be called into question? And can we backslide? That's what that could be called. And that word is yes. And I believe with all my heart, though, that once our soul has truly been redeemed, while there may be a time that we could backslide, we will be kicking and screaming by the Holy Spirit that will help and want us to get restored into a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, I believe that can happen. And yes, I think that is the case. And I'll cut right to the chase this morning about this man named Samson. Samson was a guy in his early days. He was ordained of God. And Samson, I do not believe, was a saved man till we get towards the end of his account in the book of Judges. By the way, we'll be in the book of Judges chapter 14 in part and further today. But I don't believe that what Samson was living, even though he was being used of God, was a genuine thing born of a relationship with God internally. And what God did through Samson is that he gave him great strengths. We learned about that last week. He was a Nazarite. God gave him many ways that he could use him to reach people or to have an impact on people or to accomplish the will of God. It's important for me to say this before we go any further in case I didn't last week, but God never endorses sin, true or false? True. He never endorses sin. He never endorsed Samson to do some of the things that he did. But remember this today, folks. God may, in his grace and mercy and in his omniscience, choose to work in spite of your sin and mine. But never take liberty with that. This is where it gets dangerous, folks, and this is where Samson was in this account that we get today. And I praise God for this account that we find in Scripture, because it's applicable to all of us to consider. But this is where I believe Samson was. Samson was given great authority and endowment from God. But Samson took a liberty with that that we should never cross. May it never be that any of us that are born again here in this room today say, well, it's okay for me to sin or to do this because God's going to, he needs me. He's going to use me through it. Bad thinking, folks. If you have that thought, it's a not good thought. The thing to think is always, God may choose to use me. I want to be in a position where he may choose to use me. But when we think that way recklessly, that's a very dangerous place to be in. That God needs me? No, God doesn't need any of us. God wants to use us. He wants to have us by his side for the things and the path that he has for us. But friends, may we never say that God will allow me to sin because he needs me or he is working through me. That is the wrong premise to come from for that. Well, we learned last week about Samson's miraculous beginnings, how again he was ordained of God. He was a judge in the nation of Israel. He was there for 20 years. The scriptures bears that out that we see today. God used him, but he used him more mightily after he was saved. But folks, the thing that we need to consider today is some of the things, again, that Samson was doing in his life while God had given him these endowments and the power and authority that he had conveyed upon him for his purpose. And we need to be cognizant of these things and realize that if we are on that same path in our life, today is the day to turn that around. Because it will not turn out well, folks. Because there is a recompense for sin. And God will always have to take account of those things. Even in his grace, there is still a recompense. There's a payback when we slip. And Pastor John, you need to think about that. And congregation, we need to think about that as well. Samson had some unique qualities, and I believe that they revolved around pride that were not profitable to him early on in the time that God endorsed for him to live. By the way, folks, the Bible clearly says this, pride goes before the fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction, correct? Yeah. We need to check those things today at the door, and we need to check them permanently through the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pride is what will get us into deep trouble. And folks, Samson was given many reminders of God's blessing in his life, but he failed to take heed and to take those things seriously. And that's what I would like to explore, whether we get this all finished today or not. We're going to quit on time, and I'm going to be held to that. Someone stop me when it's time, because we will. We'll come back again. But there's a lot that we can look for. Now, you remember, as we began this last week, I think I ended up in the place where Samson had gone to his mom and pop, Manoah and his mother, and said, "Get me a wife." Is that not where we kind of left off? Yeah. And we know that Samson was struggling. I think Samson probably was somewhat of what we would call today a spoiled brat. Okay, there's evidence to that through this story, through this account, until we get toward the end of his life when he got into reality with God. But you remember, he did some ordering around. By the way, this is a wedding that you could look at here that goes on with this wife that he married to the Philistines. The folks said, "Samson, you ought to not disobey God. You've been ordained to be used of God, and here you go, breaking his rules." Folks, that's a common thing. If we are ordained of God, we ought not break his rules. If we love the Lord, we'll obey him. That's what the Bible says. Not that all of us get that accomplished. I certainly don't at all times, because, you know, as I've told you many times, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But we can learn these principles from this. Samson went to do things that pleased himself. He was filled with pride. And again, he did not take the blessings and the endowment and the authority that God gave him seriously in his life. He used it as a source of pride, but even so, God still worked through him. So I'd like to begin this morning in chapter 14, just briefly, after we left off. And what we find in this account, and I'm gonna go through this quickly, is that Samson was traveling here, and let's just read it here. Let's go to verse 7, Judges 14. "And he went down and talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well." Okay, so here again, this introduction is being made for Samson to be married to this Philistine woman. And verse 8, "And after time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion." And so what we know about this is that Samson had defeated this lion previously, and now he returns on the journey to go back to the wife, and he finds that the bees have placed a comb of honey in the remains of the lion, in the carcass of the lion. And so we find in verse 10, "So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do." And this was a Middle Eastern wedding. We won't go into that this morning, but there was quite a rigmarole that went with that. And the parents were involved. It was an arranged marriage. So, you know, we have to be a little careful with Samson when he says, "Go get her." Well, that wasn't really the way it should have been, but, and especially because she was not of the Israelites. She was a Gentile, an apostate, and God did not want them mixing here with the Philistines. But anyway, and that's a principle right there. You cannot mix God and ungodly things. It's that simple. It will not work because it goes against the will and ways of God. So that's a principle that we can glean there. But let's go on here just to see this in verse 10. "So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do." I read that. "And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him." This was the wedding party, okay, of the Middle Eastern wedding. "And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it with me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out. Then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments." So what Samson is doing here, he's showing off, basically, is what he said. By the way, didn't I have the thought for the week up here? I've lost my thought for the week. Don't represent Christ in riddles. Let your message be in reality, in you. Yeah. Samson here again, he's being a big shot in this situation. He says, "Well, I'm going to give you a prize if you'll answer my riddle." By the way, folks, there's nothing wrong with riddles. But you know what? Don't represent Christ through that kind of thing. Don't bring up mysterious, crazy stuff. Do what with Christ? Present the reality of things. Present yourself. You know, don't be a trickster, a pride-filled person. I think it was, again, an indication that Samson was a guy that was filled with pride, not necessarily the power of God at this point in his life. He goes on to tell him in 13, he says, "But if you cannot declare it me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments?" Excuse me. "And they said unto him, Give us the riddle, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it." And again, I believe this is braggadocio on the part of Samson. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. It came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that we have? Is it not so? So here's what happens with the Philistines. They go to Samson's wife. And what do they threaten here? Yeah, they're going to burn she and her dad out of their house if she doesn't get Samson to confess this riddle. By the way, that's how far people get carried away with pride. And you're going to find in here another word that you need to stick in our memory bank this morning, revenge. Revenge. By the way, revenge should never be in the hand of a Christian. Revenge should be left in the hand of God. And that's the case here. There's more evidence that Samson was not a saved person at this time, even though God had a purpose. He worked in spite of his sin, and it wasn't all over because Samson got it right before it was too late. The question I have today is, will we get it right? Will you get it right, Pastor John, before it's too late? See, that's really what it comes down to. Anyway, by the way, God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Okay, we want to remember that because there's more of this that's coming along here. And again, this morning, remember these little traits. The first one was Samson getting married to the wrong person. Second one was what? Pride in Samson's life. And then we're going to find out about revenge and retribution. So let's go on here. And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me and lovest me not that thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it to thee? Now remember, this gal was probably a looker from what we get in the accounts of Scripture. And ladies, I've said this many times, you hold a lot of power over men. Seriously do. Ladies, you should be careful how you use that power. But Samson here is now being approached by his wife because she's in fear for she and her father, and she's going to go try to get the information out of him so that this can be answered and that she would be avenged in a sense here too from the destruction threatened. By the way, when people's feelings and their pride gets involved in things, it's a situation where people start to ratchet things up. Here's something, though, Christians here this morning. Christians and Pastor John, and you've seen me in action, and I'm not right a lot of times on things either. So I'm being an example to you today. But Christians, we should ratchet things down. We should not throw fuel on the fire. We should let God deal with the fire. It's a principle that I'm still learning too, because you know enough about me. I have those wrong things inside of me at times. And we need to watch that. I need to watch that today. Well, let's see how this turns out. And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day, by the way, I have written here in my margin, she whined. There's another word coming along a little later today, and it's the word she nagged. I'm not looking at Miss Kim for a reason here today. Kim is not hard to deal with. She really isn't. So anyway, she wept before him, and lo and behold, there in verse 17, it says he told her because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. She harassed him until he finally gave in because he liked this Philistine woman that he was married to. We could say he loved her, you know. He was infatuated by her. He was butter in her hands, so to speak. And the men of the city, verse 18, said unto him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, they answered the question, in other words, and this is a famous Bible passage saying, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. Samson was not an unintelligent person, even though he was pretty stupid at times, like we are. But most of us are able to grasp things if we would get it right. But Samson knew what was going on. He says, you've taken my wife and you've gone with her and forced her to tell me the riddle so that I'm going to be defeated and you're going to win. Now, how does that rank with most people when someone crosses them? Not very well. None of us likes to be framed. None of us likes to be double-crossed. None of us likes to be set up. That's what took place here. And Samson was no different. But notice now in verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now remember this whole situation. By the way, let's review something. In the New Testament era, the Spirit of God indwells the believer, never to depart. In the Old Testament, there was, and in this case, it's called anointing. Theocratic, and we're anointed with the Holy Spirit, never to be withdrawn in the New Testament era. But in that time, God sent the power of the Spirit on, and he removed it from others at the same time. Let's hear a hallelujah for the era we live in. God's never going to leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that the case? Doesn't it say that in Hebrews 13:5? He's with you and I today if we're born-again believers through the power of the Spirit, and Jesus is here with us today. That's theology. That's assurance, folks. That's nothing we have to wonder about. Hallelujah. Praise God for the day we live in, right? But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson to use him, because again, did God love the Philistines? Could he have loved the Philistines? His love could have been there for people that came to him. But God also knew that the Philistines were the enemy of God's people, the Israelites. Okay? And therefore, let's see what happens. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that's Samson, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them and expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled and he went up to his father's house. By the way, this is another indication that Samson was all about him. I've had a rough go. I got to go home to daddy. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. By the way, when you get yoked up with someone, stay with them through thick and thin. This is something I've always said in marriage counseling and so forth. And Faith and Marcus heard this not long ago. You want to preach to us, Faith, what I said? When you're yoked up with your husband or your wife, you don't go home to mommy. The Bible says we need to cleave again. You know, it's leaving and cleaving issues. But folks, this is another indication that Samson in his maturity was not good at this time. And notice what happens. The dad here, the Philistine dad of his wife, says, oh, he took off, so I'm going to give you to another man. Oh, but Samson came back. Let's look at that. But it came to pass within a while after, Samson got tired of pouting, kicking his feet, crying at home, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, that's a goat, by the way, and he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber, but her father would not permit it or suffer him to go in. Samson wanted to have his way again. He wanted to come back to his wife. She double-crossed him, did him dirty, but what? And he took revenge, in part, but now he says, I want to come back and we're going to go down the line with this marriage. But Pop says what? Not going to happen. Her father said, I verily thought that thou had utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. Well, this is a pretty bad double cross, isn't it? To take your wife away and then offer her sister to you in her place. And Samson, being the kind of a guy he was and where the way he was wired at that time before he truly was saved, Samson decides to do what? Take revenge. Let's look at it. Verse 3, and Samson concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. In other words, he's saying here, I will be more, let me reread it. I will be more blameless or less to blame, okay? Because my revenge is not even going to be worthy of what they did to me. By the way, folks, we know that revenge is a very dangerous thing. And as I said earlier, Christians, Bible-believing Christians today should be what? Ratcheting things down rather than ratcheting things up. Now, Jory, I joked with you a little bit coming in about the wind. And I'll tell you, folks, this is a sidebar. And I'm not going to say that this is necessarily, again, the reason why the wind is blowing a lot. But have any of you noticed the wind blows a lot? Didn't you think Friday it was doing at least 60 mile an hour? I mean, it was almost to blow my toupee off. By the way, I always use extra hold on windy days. If you wonder about that, you can look under our bathroom sink and I keep a spray bottle of it right there. I won't growl like I have been lately, but that may have to come at some point too. But Jory, you and I agreed at the door, the wind's been pretty bad. Now, I'm not saying this is the case, but I will say this, in times of God's judgment, the wind, and I believe as we approach that day when we'll see Jesus in that eastern sky, a lot of these things are a sign of that. Winds also coincide with droughts, which are always a part of God's judgment. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I have been led by the Spirit to think, is this windier than normal? Well, Kim said one of our classmates even wrote in, I'm not a Facebooker, but Kim is. She said, are the winds worse than they used to be? I heard it the other morning at 5 o'clock. They said we have had record wind in the last couple of years. I'll tell you what, there's something to all this. It all fits together. I'm not saying that anything at all, but I'm saying this. God's working. And then I told Jory, but there will also be a lot of hot air from the pulpit today. Amen. Hallelujah. Here is Samson. Verse 4, take a look here. Samson went and caught 300 foxes. How would he ever get that done? But he did, and he took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between the tails. So you have 300 foxes, he puts them in pairs, he ties an ember onto these foxes, and he sends them out in the wheat field. Now, I'm talking about the wind, and you've heard this on the media. Don't burn. There's a burn ban. Why? Wildfires. And can that happen around here? Yeah, it could. Absolutely. But Samson is going to send these foxes with embers between their tails right into the wheat fields of the Philistines. So let's see what happens. When he set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing. By the way, if you prefer the King James, when it says corn, it means wheat. I just wanted to tell you that. Standing corn. But if you want to think corn, it's the same thing. Of the Philistines. By the way, I always tell the boys when it's been windy and dry in the fall, watch the machines. Be careful of a bearing spitting out sparks. Because realize you could burn literally hundreds and maybe even thousands of acres in the fall or the spring of crop. Excuse me. So anyway, he turns them out in the wheat of the Philistines and burn up both the shocks and the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. Folks, this was the day in Israel of the wildfire like what we saw in California. Same kind of thing going on. But it was set by Samson because of revenge. Revenge. Well, did that end all of it? Remember we talked about the ratchet effect? Nope, it just brought on more retribution from the Philistines. And so here we see, verse 6, the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Retribution. And Samson said unto them, "Though you have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." It's called tit for tat, as we ratchet up. This was what was in the heart of Samson. This could be in the heart of some of us here today. But understand, it will not be used positively of God. Because we already heard, let Him handle these things. This is another indication of our hearts not being right, either as a born-again believer or as someone who God has been very good to and gracious to that's unsaved and says, you know what, it's all about me. Sorry, folks, it's not all about me. It's about Him. Okay, that's the point. Samson said unto them, I will be avenged. Verse 8, and he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said to him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. Samson, even in this point, was what? He was afraid of his own people because of the way that he handled himself. And they spoke unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. Now, something about these cords. These are like ropes. They're like vines. I said to someone before when I taught this passage, if this had been me and I was Samson, the cords that they would have gotten to bind me would have been poison ivy. But the fact is, folks, new vines, green vines, or fresh rope is very, very hard to break. Okay? It's near to being impossible. How do you get through a rope like that? It has to be cut. But in Samson's case, the strength that God had endowed him with caused him to be able to what? Pop these things like they were nothing, like they were a piece of yarn, is what it says here later. Verse 14, and when he had come unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord, here it is, came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of a donkey, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. God's spiritual power was endued upon him at this point, once again, for his use. Even though Samson was sinning, God still worked in spite of his sin in this case. But never take that liberty. God was dealing with Samson. He was, I want to use the word, learning him. He was teaching him through these things. But Samson still wasn't ready to get it. May that be the case with some of us, with me. It's time to get it. Let's see what happens. Verse 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey. By the way, the donkeys that were made here were who, really? It was those that resisted him. But anyway, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of a donkey have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi, or in our vernacular, Jawbone Heights. Appropriate term, right? And he was sore athirst. We would be too after we'd gone through something like that. He called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst? Again, what's this show us about Samson? He's a cocky, full of himself guy going up to God and saying, well, I've done all this and now you're going to let me die of thirst. Well, let me tell you something. God delivers. He always delivers, and he delivers right on time. And he says, will I fall into the hand of the uncircumcised of the Philistines? But God clave a hollow place that was in the jawbone, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkori, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. I'll tell you what, folks. Sometimes God chooses to continue to be gracious and patient with us. But folks, let's not take that chance with God. Let's get it right sooner than later. Anyway, He is a good God. Well, let's go on here. So that's the first thing, intermarrying with the Philistine woman and associated events. Maybe some of these things ring true to your heart and mind today. The other one is the retribution that Samson had and the events that were associated with it. Do you think this brought glory to God? No. It brought destruction. But God still used it in spite of that sin. But it was another step on the path where Samson was having pride in the things that God had by grace given him, but he truly did not know the God of the Bible at this time. That's going to change. All right, so again, displayed there God's goodness. Samson, he was a judge for 20 years over Israel. Now let's go on to the next thing that happens, because normally when people hear about this account of Samson, what's the second name that comes into mind? It's not his mom and pop. It's not the first wife. It's... wasn't there a song in the 60s, Samson and Delilah? Delilah is usually not a name that you would want to name your child, your daughter, right? Well, we'll find out here. Then went Samson, 16:1, to Gaza. By the way, that's the same Gaza that we read about in the news or hear about in the news today. And saw there a harlot and went in unto her, a prostitute. Well, this says something about Samson too here, where his spiritual well-being was. Not that this couldn't happen, people, but we see again an indication that Samson was not in any way giving attribute to God for what he had been given, but he was taking the benefits of it. Anyway, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in. By the way, Samson was really an enemy. He was an enemy here to the Philistines. They were out to get him. And let me tell you, when someone's out to get you, they won't stop at any length till they see it accomplished. They compassed him in, they circled him in, they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And by the way, folks, never doubt that Christians have enemies. Never doubt that. And how Satan works in these situations. Verse 3, and Samson lay till midnight and rose at midnight. Now, what did Samson do here that they didn't think would happen? They figured that Samson was going to be pie-eyed. He wouldn't be getting up early, but Samson fooled him. He gets up at midnight and he heads out. And he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Now, I'm just going to assume here today that the gates to the city would have been roughly as wide, at least at a minimum, of what this building is across. And Lonnie, I'm going to say this building, I don't remember, I think it's around 40 feet across, maybe more. But the point is, then you have the gates and the posts that support those and so forth that go along with that and fasten them. And what Samson does is what? He lifts the whole thing up and then runs up a hill. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but if I knew someone like that, by the way, I said last week I'd like to have Samson on hand for some of the lifting I needed. But if you knew a guy like that that could do these kind of things or kill people with a piece of a jawbone, 1,000 people, or had the audacity, who was it that said verve? Who? No, but someone said it earlier last week. They had the guts to set those foxes loose. Would you tangle with this guy? Well, I'd think twice about it every time. Verse 4, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. By the way, in the Hebrew, the name Delilah means amorous delight, languishing temptress. Ooh. It also means she knows. She knows. You want those back again if you want to take them down? Repeat it? Okay. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him. Plus, it's safe to say Delilah had the package to get the enticing done. We'll leave it at that for this morning. And see wherein his great strength lieth. In other words, we're going to figure this guy out because we're not going to continue to be intimidated by him. And you're the one, Delilah, you'll be able to figure this out. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. This is like the frosting on the cake. Delilah is out there, you know, doing her reputation and her business. And let me tell you, to get an answer out of Samson is going to be a lot better money than what she's going through. Enough said. Verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be found to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withes, or strings, bowstrings, that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. By the way, here's Samson. Does he need to lie about anything? What could he have said in this situation? If he were a believer at this point, I think he might have said, hey, Delilah, I shouldn't even be here in the first place, but just in case you wondered, my strength comes from... This is the kind of thing we as humans get caught in. See? Thankfully, God works usually in spite of it, but there are prices to pay that can be big. Then the lords of the Philistines, in verse 8, brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withes as a thread of yarn is broken. That's what the word tow there means, if you have the KJV. When it touches the fire, it's like... So his strength was not known. Interestingly enough, Samson, this is what's called being framed, being set up, having some monkey shines pulled here against him. By the way, folks, when we place ourselves in a situation like this where we lie, where we have the wrong motives for what are being done here and so forth, we put ourselves in jeopardy of being set up. And in that chamber where Delilah was, were the Philistines waiting with bated breath to nail Samson. Now our time is up, and I promised today that we'd be done on time. So we will, Lord willing, return to this next week. But the bottom line here today as I close is just this very thing. Have we lied to ourselves? Have we lied to others? Are we lying to God? Where does our strength lie, brothers and sisters in Christ? It does not lie in the external. It lies on the internal in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line of this whole thing. But we'll come back and see how it turns out. Of course, you can read ahead. But you know what, folks? In the end, when we see all these things that happen, by the way, Samson got right with God. I'm going to tell you that right now. But in the end, a whole lot of destruction came into the path. The thought behind this message is this. When we relinquish God's authority and endorsement in our lives, it is a dangerous choice. Pastor John, be warned today. Fruitland congregation, be warned today. There's a principle behind Samson. And that principle is, we better be right with God sooner than later. Is our faith today genuine? Jesus is inviting you today, and on that basis of his invitation, I'm inviting you as well to come clean with Jesus today, whether you be saved or unsaved today, if there is a need. And if you're here apart from Jesus today, there is a great need to come into fellowship with him. Because of your own strength and power, like Samson was showing us here, you will not make it. We cannot make eternity in the presence of our Lord in a place where our punishment has been assuaged, other than through the power, the mercy, and faith in Jesus Christ. Apart from that, destruction will follow. If you have a question about that, it's perfectly fine to come forward and you can ask the Lord today. There are several of us here that will be glad to show you about that from Scripture. But folks, today is a day where we are again faced bluntly with a choice. Lord, help us. My most common prayer. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand, if you're able today, 470. Now, you may be trying to live for Jesus today, but the fact is, in this song is how the refrain goes, is it a life that is true? I'm confessing to you today, and I'm always up here for a reason, that I struggle with issues in my life. Maybe we can commiserate today, but really not commiserate. Maybe we can rejoice that God is still working with us today and get it right. If you're apart from Jesus eternally, need to be born again in Christ, this is a day to do that. It isn't wrong to come forward. It isn't wrong to publicly show your vulnerability to Jesus. He'll answer you. He'll wrap his arms around you today and in the days to come. It's got to be genuine. Otherwise, it's what? It's fake. Respond today if you're led. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Jesus is ready and waiting. His doors are not closed today. Let's run to Him today in time of need. Denny Wheeler, would you dismiss us, please, in prayer today?